Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:26 Pacific Standard Time. This was really quite an eventful day. Well, if we start off in Europe, then, well, we won't have the ECB's absolute decision on what kind of quantitative easing that it's going to have. But, well, what we've seen over the last 6 months has been that the ECB, primarily Mario Draghi, has been saying that he wants to expand the balance sheet of the ECB by about €1 trillion. In other words, to take it back to where it was a couple of years ago at the end of the LTRO program. Well, since then, the size of the balance sheet has contracted by €1 trillion, or approximately one third. Well, to expand it back by €1 trillion would be an increase of 50%. Well, you can imagine what kind of stimulus that would represent for Europe, and golly, does it need it. What can you consider that just what kind of deflationary pressures are still evident there, and the amount of deleveraging, and I guess the amount of just fiscal consolidation that's been imposed on the region, that something in the form of a stimulus to try and reignite growth really wouldn't do any harm. Well, we won't know exactly what the story is until tomorrow. Obviously, there's going to be some pretty stiff debate on the governing council, and, well, people have been estimating over the last week that the eventual stimulus will be somewhere in the region of, well, approximately 550 billion euros. Well, the market has been rallying for consecutive days, and it was a bit firmer in here today. The FTSE was up by 1.6%, probably also, well, pricing in the potential that the Bank of England is unlikely to raise rates when there is full-bore quantitative easing going on across the channel. But generally speaking, what we've had in European equities has been a pretty firm 10 days. Well, we might get some consolidation in the aftermath of this decision, well, particularly if it comes in below 550 billion euros. But when we start to look, I guess, a bit more around the world, then Canada cut interest rates in here today. Well, that gives us some indication of just what kind of stress commodity producers are under. It also raises the question as to whether the Royal Bank of Australia will do the same. The New Zealand Bank, or Central Bank, could potentially also be back into easing mode, or ease policy even further than it already is. It put pressure on the Canadian dollar, which was weaker by 2.25 cents in here. Well, the Canadian dollar is now falling towards the lows that were posted back in 2008, which were around 130 to the US dollar. If you look over the last 40 years, the only time that the Canadian dollar has been at parity has been during major commodity bull markets. In other words, the last time it was around parity was in the 1970s. Well, when you don't have these commodity bull markets, then the loonie is generally a weak currency. And you could say a similar story for the Australian dollar. That's likely to boost their export sectors. And, well, we're in this period of time where the benefits of a weak currency are still filtering down to the manufacturing sector, which has been under such enormous pressure. The benefits of the weak currency and low interest rates have helped to support the housing markets in both countries, but that you're getting these low interest rates and a weak currency because commodity prices have been so weak. And, well, that's why we've had, well, I guess the thing to bear in mind is that the resources sectors represent such enormous parts of those respective economies that it could be a rocky transition between reliance on one sector moves over to reliance on another. So the cause, or I guess the argument for additional monetary easing is pretty well made. Well, it was also an interesting day today in Japan on very much the same front, that the Bank of Japan came out and said that they were willing to continue to add or to maintain their stimulus. But when we look around the world, that there's a really a large argument going on about when the Federal Reserve will eventually begin to raise rates. But Well, generally speaking, that when you look at the major central banks of the world, that the ECB and the Bank of Japan are very much in easing mode, that the potential for the Chinese to adopt some form of stimulus plan later this year is pretty high. Well, that just adds another quiver to the bow in terms of global liquidity. When you look at Japan today, it was down about half 1%. The second section index has been pretty firm, and well, that's generally a lead indicator. That the Hong Kong index was stronger by 1.75%. The Shanghai index, having been weaker over the last three or four sessions, rebounded pretty emphatically in here today. The Indian market, which again has also been one of these central banks that had to have this really quite tight monetary policy to try and contain inflation and support the currency, has been given a freer hand because of lower oil prices. So that's another really a major economy that is moving into a loosening or an easy monetary policy environment. Well, against that background, when we look at stock markets, we're generally presented with reasonably consistent uptrends. That the S&P got right back to test the region of the 200-day moving average 2 weeks ago, and it is still ranging here in the region of 2,000. That you have this strong dollar and you have this weak oil price, and those are generally, one is a tailwind while the other is a headwind. So, well, it's open to question then whether the US is going to be the best performing market this year, well, not least because it's been going up for nearly six consecutive years. Whereas when you look at a number of those Asian markets, well, then Japan, India, and China do look like that they are in the running to become some of the better performing markets in this year. Well, if the ECB is going to print €1 trillion, you'd have to think that that's not a particularly bullish case for the euro over the medium term. But I guess a lot of that has already been priced in, that the euro has been just so incredibly weak that a short-term oversold condition is evident, and that there is potential for some consolidation in here. But I guess we won't have any evidence of that until we see really quite a clear upward dynamic. Well, considering that the Swiss have abandoned their peg to the euro, and that it was too expensive. That's not particularly confidence-inducing from the perspective of investors. But what it also says is that we're moving into a period of time where we can expect central banks to be more activist. When we look at the oil price, it has had such just an enormous impact on sentiment and how people are thinking, and it has, I guess, given this environment of uncertainty when something can move so drastically lower in such a short period of time. Well, oil prices have been pretty steady below $50 for the last 10 sessions. Well, we haven't had yet a rally of more than $5 that has been sustained. We've been presented with rallies of between $4 and $5 at $80, $70, $60, and now around the $50 mark. Well, if you're a leveraged trader and you're looking at where you might want to short, well, you'd look over the last 6 months and say that every time it's rallied by $4 to $5, then it's declined by $10. Well, it hasn't stopped doing that just yet. We're going to have to see that prices push back above $50 and hold it for a few sessions before that's going to ignite a wave of short covering. What we are seeing is that some people are saying that, well, what happens if prices go to 40? What happens if they go to 30? I've seen some people talking about that prices could go to 20. Well, that suggests that people are extrapolating the trend. We know at this stage that it is pretty mature, that, and we know that since it's so remarkably consistent, that it's going to be pretty easy to identify when it stops being consistent. When we eventually see a meaningful rally in oil, then some of the deep oversold conditions that are evident across the energy sector will probably be unwound. Well, that will be potentially one of the better opportunities in the first half of this year if it's only a trading opportunity. The fact that we've had oil prices come back so very aggressively suggests that the likelihood of the high price environment that's prevailed over the last decade being reasserted is relatively unlikely, so that we're probably going to be presented with trading opportunities in the energy sector, but possibly not investment opportunities, that the sector may not perform as well in the next decade as it has in the last. Well, there's really a lot. Well, this really was a very active day, and it's probably going to be a very active day tomorrow as well with the ECB's decision. But with that, I'll leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.